Or Fox Live with Alan Combs on KOMY, and Let's Go Fishing with your hosts Mike Baxter and Ken Kaysen on KSCO. Let's Go Fishing, that's right. You're tuned into the Let's Go Fishing Show every Thursday from 7:06 to 8 p.m. right here on KSCO 1080. KOMY 1340. That's right, the Let's Go Fishing Show. Thanks for tuning in. We appreciate it. You know, the show wouldn't be possible without you guys listening as well as the sponsors. So the good thing is it's not about me, your host, Mike Baxter. It's about us as fishermen as a whole in the community and sharing information to have fun, take the kids out fishing or to go catch some fish to have for the barbecue, catch and release, you name it. We try to cover the topics here. So if you're planning on going fishing this weekend, you're tuned into the right show. Or if you've got a story of your own, give me a call, 479-1080. We like to hear it. Where have you been? Where at? How deep? And what color? What'd you catch? Give us a call. It's safe to talk about fishing here at the Let's Go Fishing Show. Your host, Mike Baxter, and special guest tonight. Yes, I gave Alan a little break. We let him go fishing. He deserves it. But I missed him, so if you're tuned in up there, Alan, we miss you. It's hard to get the paperwork together here without you. But anyway, we did give Alan Bushnell a break. He went to Eagle Lake, I think, with Roger Keeling, a regular caller to the show, and we hope to check in with Alan, find out how he did at Eagle Lake. If you were tuned in the last few weeks, we were talking about it. We told Roger to do some of the usual tricks, like crimp his line and reel it up onto the spool a few feet, so when Alan went to set the hook, he might break the trout off and make sure the kids caught more than him. So we'll find out how that went. I wish I was there. I still have never gone to Eagle Lake and caught trout, but it's definitely on my list. So we'll check in with Alan. We've got a great show lined up. If I didn't mention, I've got a kind of a fishing mentor and a longtime friend of mine sitting in here helping out, taking Alan's place for the night, and that's Ken Kaysen. Ken, how you doing?
I'm great, Mike. Thanks.
We've been looking forward to having you. I know you were out this weekend fishing, is that right?
That's right. Fished here locally out of Santa Cruz on Sunday.
And what'd you fish for, Ken?
Well, we're trying to find those king salmon and nothing but silvers.
That's what I'm hearing, a lot of silver salmon. Did you hear much talk on the radio about guys trying to figure out what the difference is between a king and a silver?
Oh, boy, and howdy.
Okay, so a lot of that going on, like trying to figure out how to look in the mouth and how to ID a coho.
Yeah, sometimes I feel sorry for the fish. Guys are talking on the radio for a minute or two, and you know the fish is waiting in that net in the bottom of the boat. So
the fish is going, come on, guys, make up your mind. I'm either going back in the water or on the barbecue. Come on already. So we'll cover that issue. We'll check in with Ken Case and find out how he did in Monterey Bay. We'll get a fresh report from him. We'll check in. Rumors of albacore, that's right. We hope to check in with Chad Woods from down south, as well as Senior Tuna himself, and find out what the albacore are doing in Southern California. There's rumors of albacore in the northern waters, so we hope to fill you in regards to that. Rock cod season's coming up. We hope to pull or extract a recipe out of Ken Case in regards to rockfish. I know he's fished them for years, and he's got some great recipes on rock cod. It's going to be a great show. Again, Alan's going to fill us in on if he actually caught one of those mystical Eagle Lake trout. We're going to head to Bodega Bay, California, and check in with Rick Powers and find out, I typically try not to say wide open, but there's no other way to say it. The wide open salmon fishing that's been in Bodega Bay, is that continuing? So I think it's a great show. We're going to do a follow-up report on the Grady White tournament right here in Santa Cruz that took place last week and find out if the old Vanguards held their title with big fish at the Grady White tournament. We'll check in with Brett Townsend from Central Valley Marine. So I think, like I always say, don't touch the dial. We're going to be right back with more infallible fishing logic brought to you by Mike Baxter and Ken Kaysen. We're looking forward to it. It's going to be a great show. We'll be right back after the break.
After 25 years of excellent customer service in our community, Dave Dawson is now working as a realtor with Bailey Properties. Dave's success is a combination of his local knowledge and his ability to produce results and please his clients. If you or anyone you know is considering buying or selling any real estate, you need to call Dave Dawson at 901-2856. That's Dave Dawson at Bailey Properties, 901-2856. You know, hiring a contractor to do your home improvement is like fishing. Sometimes, well, most of the time, you never know what you're going to get. When it comes to your roof, Warren Knox at Knox Roofing wants you know what you're going to get, and that's a roof worth keeping. Knox Roofing takes pride in their work, and that's why they're the most chosen roofing contractor in the area. Give Knox Roofing a call in Santa Cruz, 461-0634. In Monterey, 831-394-0110, or check them out at knoxroofing.com. Bayside Marine, a complete tackle store. Up-to-the-minute reports from local fishermen. The finest tackle from sport to commercial gear. CalStar, Shimano, Lamaglass, Penn, from long-range Mexico gear to the hottest salmon gear of the Northwest. Bayside Marine has it all. Call the hotline at 464-3474. Remember, we're on the web at BaysideMarineSC.com or call the shop at 475-2173. Stop by on your way to the boat ramp. Pick up your ice, food, beer, bait, and tackle. Then say hi to Todd and get the latest scoop. Remember, we're Bayside Marine. Give us a call at 475-2173. A part of our community, a part of culture, the Santa Cruz Harbor, with a brand new launch ramp, a great washdown and fish cleaning facilities. Sport fishermen call this protected port haven. The Santa Cruz Harbor is ideal for all boaters with berthing and end ties. Find rigging, tackle, charters, and great restaurants in the harbor. With full hookups, you can bring your RV and even take a scenic stroll around the harbor. The Santa Cruz Harbor welcomes you. You know how to put money into your IRA, but do you know how to take it out? Do you know the smartest way to withdraw money at 55 or even 45? And how will the new rules affect your required minimum distributions? To see how Smith Barney can help you navigate the complicated tax laws regarding IRAs, call Pete Middlecoff, financial consultant, at 479-5100. That's 479-5100 for Pete Middlecoff. Citigroup Global Markets Incorporated, member SIPC. Smith Barney is a division of Citigroup Global Markets Incorporated and does not provide tax advice. Consult your tax advisor for guidance.
Let's go fishing. You're tuned into the Let's Go Fishing Show every Thursday from 7:06 to 8 p.m. That's right. Fish Talk Radio here at KSTO 1080, KOMY 1340. And thanks to our good friends at ShipToShoreRadio.com. They archive the show so you can listen to it at work. Just don't let the boss hear it. And if you are the boss, sit back and enjoy it. You get to hear an hour of fish stories from us and recent reports from a lot of the regular callers, the charter boat captains and guides that help contribute information to the show so you can listen to the archive show again there at ShipToShoreRadio.com. Also, SportFishingReport.com, as well as tons of information, latest dock counts, daily catches, SportFishingReport.com. Great site. Tons of information there. Check it out. And Chad Woods puts that site on. He's been real kind to not only donate fishing information to the show as a regular caller, but he's archiving the radio show there also. Or check out our own site, which is the Let's Go FishingRadioShow.com. So, again, a big thanks to you guys for listening to the show. A lot of comments along the beach there, people on land that do listen, and I appreciate it. Again, no one of us knows more than all of us, so you guys and the callers make the show possible. Big thanks to Bailey Properties there. Dave Dawson, he's a realtor with Bailey Properties, so right now it's a buyer's market. If you're looking at a house, give Dave Dawson a call. Knox Roofing, now's the time. Don't wait for the rain and the leaks and getting the buckets out. Check in with Knox Roofing. Bayside Marine, Todd keeps us posting on what's going on in the entire Monterey Bay here. Check out his site, BaysideMarineSC.com, as well as the Santa Cruz Harbor. A great place if you haven't fished out of Santa Cruz, you ought to. Pete Middlecoff right here in Capitola, 41st Avenue, Smith and Barney, with financial solutions for you. So give Pete a call. A big thanks to you guys for sponsoring the show. And let's check in with Rick Powers. I'll tell you what we've kind of done this season is, Al and I talked about, is with the limited amount of time we have, let's really concentrate on the hot bites, like what's really going on, where the best fishing is, and let's focus on that. Well, that's how we're starting today's show, because I don't think anywhere has been as good as Bodega Bay lately for salmon fishing. Rick, take it from the top. What's going on in Bodega Bay?
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
Doing real good.
So are we. We're ecstatic about what's happening here, Mike. Well, I'll tell you, this week has been like the last three. Red hot fishing, Mike. I've had limits my last four trips. The last 3 days, let's see. Today's Thursday. Tuesday, we had 24 limits to 37 pounds. We had an extremely heavy average. We had like 14 to 16 pound average with lots of fish in the 20s, a good number of fish mid-20s, a few in the high 20s, and a few in the low 30s. And then the following day yesterday, we had 22 limits to 27 pounds. We had more mixed fish, you know, a little bit more mixed up on the size, but we did have a lot of big fish mixed in. And then today's trip was absolutely phenomenal. I ran out this morning. There was a small cluster of boats fishing just 2 miles south of Bodega Head. And I kind of started running down below those guys. They were catching a few fish and releasing a few silvers. Didn't sound like a lot going on, Mike. And we got down below them, and the pelicans were just starting to work, and the birds were, you know, how it's got that fishy look.
Mm.
We dropped the lines in, and I threw the boat in the circle, and we never broke that circle until we landed our 68th fish. We had 68 salmon for 34 anglers by 10 o'clock in the morning.
One big circle. And are you fishing close to shore? It sounds like a big school of anchovies just loaded with king salmon. Is that right?
Yeah, you know, there just seems to be fish all over the place up here right now. We've got excellent conditions, brown water, lots of feed. The fish are loaded with anchovies. On occasion, you'll see a few sardines mixed in them, but it's been a phenomenal bite. I mean, to put the boat in one circle, I had two deckhands netting salmon as fast as they possibly could for 2 hours, and it was just a phenomenal bite, Mike. I just can't say enough about the fishing right now.
Are these what size fish are we talking about, Rick?
Well, you know, I would say the average fish today was probably, I'd say on the average, 10 to 12. Nothing like what we had Tuesday. We had monsters on Tuesday. I mean, for this time of the year, you're looking at a, you know, 15, 14, 16-pound average. Those are good-sized fish.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'd say, yes, well, you know, 10, 12-pound average today with lots of fish in the high teens. I think the big salmon today was 32 pounds. So, I mean, every day we're getting fish in the high 20s and up into the low 30s. So it's been dynamite.
It sounds like the place to go. You know, from this area, we've got a lot of listeners in Monterey Bay as well, and it's not that far of a drive. I know fuel costs a bit of money, but, heck, rather than trolling all day, tow the boat up there, or even easier, hop in the truck, load it with some ice in the cooler, and hop on the boat with Rick Powers. That sounds like great fishing. How's the weather been? I know Bodega is a little notorious for weather, but it sounds like the thermal trough is going to move towards the coast a little bit, and the winds are supposed to subside. What do you see with the weather pattern lately, Rick?
Okay, well, you know, a lot of times people, you know, most folks that fish on a regular basis, they use the weather buoys up and down the coast to kind of judge the weather. And we talked a little bit about that last week or the week before when I last spoke with you. You know, the weather buoys are typically like 12 miles offshore, at least in this area they are. And all week long, that buoy's been reading, you know, 25, 30 knots of wind. But we've been able to fish near shore. We're only fishing a couple of miles off the beach. Actually, today's bite, we were 3.5 miles south of Bodega Head. So by skiff, you're looking at 10 minutes, 15 minutes from the dock. On my boat, you're looking at about, 30-minute run, 40-minute run max. You know, I mean, and that's taking your time going. I actually had one of the six-pack boats had a mechanical problem this morning, and so we waited for them to come back in. He had a problem with his turbo. He dropped his passengers off. I waited for them to load up. I didn't leave the dock until almost 8 o'clock this morning, and we were done at 10.
So I don't want to jinx you, because I've been known to do that, but it doesn't sound like you're out there till 2 or 3 in the afternoon trying to get that last fish, so it's not a biggest concern with the wind. And I think it's supposed to come down a little bit, so you're looking at a good weekend. Are you booked up with that kind of fish, and are you full for the weekend, or do you have any spots available, Rick?
Oh, you know, we're going to try mooching Saturday. I think we're just about full. It'll be my first mooch trip of the season. I'm looking forward to that, Mike. Getting tired of seeing people lose all these weights. We'd like to start mooching. We love to use the light tackle, you know, when the fish hit the beach, and everybody looks forward to that. So we're going to try mooching Saturday. Hopefully that produces the troll bite. I mean, it's hard to stop trolling when you're catching fish like we've been catching them. But like you said, the weather's supposed to, well, it did today. We had light southerly airs today, you know, and we had a little bit of a lump left over, but I've been fishing, you know, all week long where the weather's been pretty good near shore, and we're just a stone's throw from Bodega Head. I mean, for guys in their own boats, you're looking at a short run, you know. I mean, we're just we're not fishing far from the harbor. We're right out front here.
And Rick, are you switching to mooching for good, or just this weekend do you have a mooching trip? What do you recommend a guy brings up there if he's hopping on the boat with you as far as gear goes?
Well, you know, we're going to try mooching. I want to see. I think these fish will bite on the mooch. Like I say, everybody likes to use a light mooching stick if they can. And the way, you know, we got some silvers mixed in, so we're losing a lot of lead. And I kind of like mooching if we can catch them that way. Mm-hmm. You know, as far as the mooch gear goes, you know, 2-3-4 ounce banana weight. If you want to use a slider, if you tend to thread the bait, then you want to use a slider and, you know, maybe a 2 ounce sinker. It just depends on the drift factor. But, well, you know, we're using a single barbless circle hook. And we use Eagle Claw hooks and about a 6 foot leader. And I think it's going to work. You know, we'll have to see what happens. I'm going to try it on the mooch. And if it's productive, we'll probably stick with it. Otherwise, we'll go back to the troll. But, you know, I'll tell you, I've been doing this all my life. Like, I started in the industry when I was 9, and I'm 53 now. And I spent a lot of years as a deckhand, many, many years as a skipper. I guess I'm getting to be one of those old-time skippers, probably almost around, I think I'm on my 7th issue on my license, 35 years now. I've never seen salmon fishing this consistent. I've never, ever seen it this good. I mean, you know, we all know you have your spurts where you're on the fish and you nail limits for 2-3-4 days, or, you know, and then it kind of tapers. But, I mean, this has just been phenomenal. We are very happy that that we've got the conditions and the fish seem to be in our area. You know, yeah. Who knows how long that'll last.
Well, it sounds like it's going to last a while. Conditions sound good, Rick. I appreciate it. That's fantastic fishing. If he doesn't have room on the new Sea Angler, he'll find a spot for you. You can always ask, too, what tackle to bring or what type of trip is going. I'm sure he has tackle for you on the boat or in the shop when you get set up in the morning. Give us some contact information if anybody wants to make the drive up there. It sounds like there's a good chance you're going to bring something back to put on the barbecue.
Okay, Mike. Yeah, we're actually booking 4 boats out of the shop now, so we've got room available through the weekend and lots of room next week. If somebody needs information or would like to make a reservation, you can reach us at 707-875-3344 or 875-3495.
All right, Rick. Thanks for the report. You keep catching those fish, and we'll check in with you next week.
Hey, thanks, Mike. You guys have a good night.
Have a great weekend. And let's check. We're talking about good fish, Ken. What do you think we check in with Alan?
Well, that's a good idea.
See if he caught any trout up there at Eagle Lake.
I'll bet he did.
Had you been listening to the show lately, Ken, where we were kind of razzing him about his kids are probably going to catch more fish than him?
Oh, you bet. You want your kids to outfish you.
Yeah, that's a good thing, isn't it?
You bet.
That's something you do a lot. You take your kids fishing.
An awful lot.
Okay, well, we're going to get some information out of you if people like freshwater fishing. I know you've got a few local reservoirs and lakes that you could probably tip us off to some decent fishing for.
Yeah, you bet. Love to.
All right, stay tuned to the show. We'll check in with Ken even more as the time rolls on. In the meantime, let's go up to, I don't know where, I think Eagle Lake, but last we heard we were checking with Roger Keeling, and Alan Bushnell, the co-host, was going on a fishing vacation. Alan, how are you doing tonight?
Good evening, Mike.
How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm doing fantastic.
I don't want to get right to it. First of all, I miss you. I mean, I've got, typically Alan brings me my water. He lines up the calls. Ken Kaysen's sitting and he's looking at me like, man, it's a good thing you sound decent on air, Mike, because what I'm seeing behind the scenes here is a little chaotic.
Yeah.
Ken, for me, it kind of feels like cutting school, you know?
I'll enjoy it. Yeah. You deserve it.
All I kept telling Ken, Alan, is, believe me, Ken, it's usually not this hectic when Alan's here, but he's been helping me out too, taking some notes and help me get the board set up. But no water cups or anything, so I definitely miss you, but it's for a good cause. Now tell us, did you catch some trout? Where did you fish, and how was Roger Keeling?
Oh, yeah. My son Max, my daughter Em, and I went up to Eagle Lake, and we got there Monday evening, and we kind of enjoyed the place on Tuesday. On Wednesday morning, we met with Roger Keeling at about 5:15 in the morning, and we took off on the lake. As Roger was telling us, last week, the lake has changed. They got some real hot weather with that high-pressure system that brought the good weather here, and it really heated the lake up. The fish were scattered throughout the lake in the shallows 2 weeks ago, and then as of last Friday, they all skedaddled. They took off from the shallow water. The water went from, I think, 55 degrees up to 64 in the matter of 2 days. And that generated an algae bloom. And this algae is just horrible, Mike. It's like jellyfish.
Alan, I don't want to interrupt because I'm actually really interested. But you're really setting the stage for, I mean, you sound like me when I'm getting ready to run a charter boat.
Well, the fishing was tough. And we talked on Tuesday night, Roger and I, on the phone. And, we considered maybe even calling the trip off, you know, because the fishing was so tough. I did see a couple fish brought in by boaters who worked real hard on Tuesday, but it was only one or a maximum of two fish per boat for people that had fished all day. We decided to go for it. I really wanted to meet Roger. I wanted the kid to have the experience, and we took off on Wednesday morning, fished the west side of the lake near the harbor there, trolling worms. And after about an hour, we did get one hookup, a small Eagle Lake trout, beautiful fish. My daughter Emma caught it, and she made the decision to release the little guy. It was only about 13 inches long. After another hour with no hookups, and we saw occasional fish rising, but very few, Roger decided to he needed to do something completely different. So we moved to the other side of the lake, and we started trolling his secret lure, which is... Am I allowed to say this?
Yeah, I already know. It's a countdown Rapala, like a number three trout pattern.
No, you're close, Mike. It's actually a red dot frog needlefish.
Oh.
We put three of those out, one on a downrigger and two on the sides of the boat with the lead core line. And over the next couple hours, we got a few more hits and brought in some beautiful, beautiful Eagle Lake fish. Emma got a 19-inch fish, great bite. Then Max hooked up next, and he brought in a 20-inch fish. I even got one fish on the downrigger rod. That was right between 19 and 20 inches. And then after we made the decision to kind of head in before we could get the lines up, Emma hooked up again, and this was about a 21-incher. So Emma gets the prize for the day, for the big fish of the day, and these are all just gorgeous fish. What really surprised me was how much, well, I wasn't surprised that I learned a lot from Roger Keeling. I mean, the guy is, you know, he's just kind of a legend. But what surprised me is how light of equipment that he uses. It's not quite ultralight, but it's very light stuff. And how easy you have to take it. These are big, strong fish, and... if you try to horse them in, you're going to lose them. So it's all about the delicate touch and just taking it real easy when they get close to the boat, lifting the rod as gently as possible and reeling down and getting them to the net. It's real finesse fishing, and it was hard for me not to like rear back just like I do with the king salmon, but Roger kept me in check, and he kind of ruined my reputation as a person who cannot catch trout, Mike.
Oh, good, good. He defied that myth. Now, since we're on the trout topic, very good. A big kudos to the kids. Good job, Emma and Max. Good job fishing. And give us a quick summary. Before that, you went to Loch Lomond for the kayak tournament. So if you don't mind jumping from
the trout
of Eagle Lake, but give us a quick summary on Loch Lomond, if you would, right before the break.
Yeah, on Sunday last, we had a great kayak fishing tournament, 33 entrants. The winner of the contest was Chris Baugh, who caught just about a 4-pound largemouth bass and won a brand new ocean kayak prowler fishing kayak with that bass. The number two fish was also a bass, as was the number three. But there was lots of trout there, Mike, as you know. You took your kids up there the week before, and on that Sunday, everybody, even I, was catching trout. trolling worms with flashers. Rockwellman was working real good last week.
It sounded like you keyed in on a feature due to one of the locals that you saw out there, and that's that the trout have now started to stratify or suspend deeper at Rockwellman, where I was catching them on the surface with, say, a quarter to a 3/8 ounce weight. You were having to dip into more like a 5/8 or 3/4 ounce weight and getting it down there 30 feet or so to catch those trout.
That's right, Mike. I trolled for about an hour and a half behind the kayak and didn't get one hit until I met Glenn, who was up there in his skiff with his wife, and he was just racking them up right next to the little island there. The fish were in that spot, and he and I just like paddled circles around each other and watched each other hook up, you know. It was a real fun morning. It's the best trout fishing I've ever had at Loch Lomond.
All right, so those lakes are starting to warm up, even here down by the coast. So if you're heading inland where the water's even warmer, start to fish deeper there. They might be shallow in the morning, but they're starting to stratify. The lakes are turning over. Alan Bushnell, we miss you. I'm glad you had a great trip. Good job to the kids. And thanks for the Eagle Lake Report. I hope Roger was well.
Roger was fantastic, and it was truly an experience to hear him and his dog Chester singing Indian love song together on the boat.
Okay, we're going to go into a break. When we get back, we're checking in with Senior Tuna himself and find out what's going on up there on the Feather River, Lake Oroville, and maybe we'll extract a tuna report out of him. What are the bluefin doing in Southern California? Don't touch the dial. We'll be right back.
Thanks, Mike. Thanks, Ken.
Yeah, thanks, Alan.
Put Lake Nacimiento Resort on your list this year. For a fun-filled family destination that has something for everyone, including 6 campgrounds.
Ooh, that smells good.
From walk-ins to full RV hookups, visit Lake Nacimiento Resort. If roughing it's not your style, nestle into one of the Lakeview lodges.
Ooh, this place is nice.
And make sure to check the menu at the Lakeshore Cafe. With 165 miles of shoreline, it's easy to find a private spot to fish. The resort marina also has a full line of boat rentals, from fishing skiffs to ski boats, for even more family fun. For reservations and information, call 800-323-3839 extension 2 or check the website at www.nacimientoresort.com.
Feeling stressed? Why not get away from it all? Imagine the beauty of nature, the sounds of silence. Go fishing.
Son, isn't this wonderful? No neighbors, no phones, no TV.
Dad, how many kinds of fish are there?
Hundreds, maybe thousands. I don't know exactly.
Thousands? That's a lot of fish.
Well, let's just see if we can catch one or two today.
Fishing with a family can yield memories that will last a lifetime. With the gear available today, fishing is easy. An outdoor world has waders and waterproof boots to keep you dry, tackle boxes, fishing vests, and carrying cases to keep your gear handy, reels, and just the right bait to make a difference. At Outdoor World, you'll find everything you need except for the fish. Outdoor World on 41st Avenue in Capitola, on Front Street in Santa Cruz, and on North Fremont Street in Monterey. See our weekly ad in the Good Times and the Monterey County Weekly. Outdoor World, when it's time to get away.
Some say the best way to fish Monterey Bay is a small charter or six-pack boat. One thing's for sure, you can't go wrong booking a trip with Real Sport Fishing of Captain Jimmy Charter. Jerry Brooks and Jim Rubin run fast, roomy boats with top-notch gear and the latest electronics. Whether halibut, salmon, or albacore is your prey, Captain Jimmy and Real Sport Fishing get you there quick and maximize your cash. For a custom fishing trip, call Captain Jimmy at 831-662-3020 or Real Sport Fishing at 831-465-0639.
ICOM Marine products are simply the best. When your safety at sea depends on communication, trust ICOM radios, handhelds, VHF, and single sidebands. ICOM is the leader of the industry. With a full line of VHF radios equipped with digital collective calling, depend on ICOM. Their products are second to none. Find ICOM radios at Johnson Hicks or any fine dealer near you. Check online at www.icomamerica.com. ICOM, simply the best. Central Valley Marine makes your fun serious. With Grady White boats and Yamaha engines, the customer always comes first at Central Valley Marine. Find perfectly crafted Grady White boats outfitted with four-stroke Yamaha outboards at a business with 30 years of experience. Central Valley Marine. Phone 1-800-974-4286. In Campbell on South Bascom, Central Valley Marine. 800-974-4286.
Let's go fishing. Hopefully you're getting ready to head out this weekend with friends or family and going fishing, whether it's freshwater, saltwater. We hope to fill you in on a couple of hot spots or give you a trick or two. Great show so far. We checked in with Rick Powers in Bodega. He's catching a lot of fish there. Alan Bushnell, our co-host, checked in with us and gave us the Loch Lomond report, as well as Eagle Lake. And we want to talk to Steve Carson and find out what's going on in the Central Valley, shad fishing, stripers, salmon in the Feather River, as well as kind of a South Coast summary on the tuna. First, I'd like to thank Lake Nassimiano for supporting the show. Outdoor World, I'll tell you, the more I go there, the longer I live in town, I love going to Outdoor World. I've really gotten more into camping with my family, and there's so much there, from trout fishing gear for this time of the year, backpacking, camping stuff. It's all there, Outdoor World. Captain Jimmy and Real Sport Fishing, right there in the Santa Cruz Harbor for six-pack trips. Great guys to go on, fast boats. The tuna season is getting real close, so check in with those guys. ICOM radios, you can't beat ICOMs. The VHF radios are the best, the safest to be used out in the saltwater, at least in my opinion. And Central Valley Marine, home of the Grady White boats. They just had a tournament, so I'll fill you in on who won and what they caught on that tournament here shortly. And even more important, we've got our friend Ken Kaysen sitting in with us tonight. And how you doing tonight, Ken?
Oh, I'm doing great, Mike.
What do you think? I mean, you've listened to the show for a while. Now you see what goes on behind the scenes. Have you heard me say before that it's a little more chaotic before I get on, that it's not that rehearsed? We never know what will happen. What do you think?
Well, you've got a lot of papers and notes, and you're pulling it off here, Mike.
I'm pulling it off. But, yeah, before it starts, as I've always said, we're always kind of running around. Well, what we're going to do is talk to Ken more about rock cod fishing, because July 1st that starts, and he's caught rockfish here along the Central Coast for years. And if we're lucky, we're going to get a recipe out of him. In the meantime, let's check in with Steve Carson, otherwise known as Senior Tuna. How you doing, Steve?
Good evening, Mike and Ken.
Hey, good morning. Good evening.
What's happening down there?
Well, not a lot. There's rumors of bluefin tuna. That's getting us excited. And I made a few calls today. I'm a little out of the loop. I checked in with some commercial fishermen. And if you haven't heard, there's definitely some albacore up off the river, as they call it, which is outside the Columbia River. They're bordering northern Oregon and southern Washington. That's kind of the first spot, those fish that are coming across the bay heading east from Japan. They show up where those huge water breaks are outside of the Columbia River. There's already some commercial fish caught there. Rumors of fish at the ridge outside of Fort Bragg, which I haven't confirmed. And the water breaks are here, but I think more important when we talk tuna is the amount of bluefin they're catching in San Diego this year. Steve, what do you think about that?
It's pretty exciting. I mean, the count already, and of course it's not even the 1st of July yet, the count already is well over 1,500 bluefin, which easily exceeds the total for all of last year. They're also almost at 10,000 yellowtail and just a smidge under 3,000 albacore. And that, remember, that's just for the day fleet, for the one-day boats. That doesn't count the long-range boats, of course. And, again, they're really just, they've been picking away at them for a couple of months here and there, but it's clear that the migratory fish have now arrived. And I hadn't heard, but, you know, when you can pick up the phone and just call Jack Webster, I know you're going to find out wherever the albacore are on the whole planet. But, you know, for the sport fishermen, you know, we're up here waiting for the stuff to really get going in San Diego, and that's usually a sign that it's about to happen for us. And really, the albacore have now overtaken the bluefin on numbers the last couple days. For the one-day boats are averaging about two fish a rod, and the day-and-a-half boats, which have a little bit more range, as you know, are averaging about four fish a rod. It's pretty exciting.
Are they going, sorry for interrupting, are they going west for those albacore? Are they heading into Mexican waters? And what's the average size of the albacore, Steve?
The average, there's been a couple of big ones caught. When I say big ones, I mean over 35. But the vast majority of the fish appear to be just in that perfect migratory 12 to 20 pound, maybe 25 pound size category that at least, you know, the conventional wisdom says that's what they're supposed to be at this time of year.
Yeah, it's funny. I asked the question, and I don't want to hear big fish. I don't want to hear little tiny. I want to hear the average, 15 to 20-pound albacore. That's a good sign.
Exactly. And the bluefin haven't been overly large, which could be partly accounting for why the numbers are up, because when you're sliding into 50 and 60-pound bluefin, you just lose a lot of them. And, you know, if they're 20 to 30 pounds, the same size as the albacore, your landing percentage is quite a bit higher.
Mm-hmm. So the season has definitely taken place down there. The numbers of albacore aren't as high as previous years. Bluefin exceed even the best years, so that's a good sign. Maybe we'll have one of those bluefin years up here on the Central Coast.
That'd be nice because, of course, that now additionally in San Diego, down a little bit below the one-day fleet where they can reach, but definitely in range of the three-day trips, they're already getting yellowfin. And a nice grade at that. They're sliding into some mixed schools of 30-pound bluefin and 50-pound yellowfin. And again, that's not so much that we're going to catch yellowfin up here, of course, but it's an indicator that the water temperatures could be favorable, you know, for the temperate water fish to easily make it up here like the bluefin.
Yeah, I like the water to get really hot down there so those fish start coming up this way for more. Like you said, the temperate waters, those yellowfin seem to push the albacore and bluefin, which like a little bit cooler water, the 58 to 64 degree water, where the yellowfin seem to like it up there in the high 60s to more like 70 degree water. So that's a good sign. The numbers sound good, exciting. It's that time of the year for tuna. I know when the weather calms down, we've got a few breaks outside of Santa Cruz, Monterey Bay. They look right, and it's well past time to be caught. I know a lot of the Moss Landing commercial fishing fleet is starting to gear up. They traditionally leave port around the 4th of July, and some of them are going to be leaving a little sooner. It sounds like most of them are going to be heading up towards that Oregon and Washington bite for those northern albacore.
For anybody with some interest, I still do, Mike. I've got some space on my four-day trip on the Searcher leaving on the 4th of July out of San Diego. Got a couple of spots. Obviously, the fishing looks like it's just going to be excellent. For those that are interested, can just give the Searcher office a call or call Fisherman's Landing. And I know there's room, so, you know, grab a buddy and jump on, because we're gonna hammer the fish. Plus, I'm gonna have the first West Coast demo versions. They have not been west of the Mississippi yet. The first West Coast demo versions of the new Penn Torque reels, which are actually going to be revealed to the world at, of course, the big ICAST show in Las Vegas in the middle of July, but we'll have the first demo versions on board the Searcher.
Well, that'd be a great trip. You know, I pictured all the many, many faces you and I were able to take out on the Wild Wave doing the Penn Fishing University trips, and some of those guys would be great candidates if you did a couple of one-day trips on the Wild Wave with Steve and myself doing the Penn University trips. That would be a good introduction to a shorter long-range trip with a great boat and a good group of people. Good idea. Now, inland, Steve, I hate to jump straight from the warm water, salt water tuna species to the freshwater fish there, but since you're a good source for the Feather River, fill us in. Are the salmon still there? Are there shad being caught? And what about striped bass?
Well, you know, it's good news and bad news, like most things. It's not going to be a great year for shad. Both the feather and the sack have got some shad in them. You know, they've been picking away at them. But even if they suddenly go wide open tomorrow, you know, we've already missed a good part of the traditional season. So I would say it's the shad season is going to be mediocre at best. There's almost no bite left in the feather. There's some in the Sacramento, and there's even indications that the fish might be a little bit late. And there was some, you know, some good catches made the last couple of days up in the Chico washout area, Road 29, Road 48. The fly fishermen that hang out there at Road 48 definitely know that spot. That's where all the fly fishermen, just about in the world it seems, gather when the shad are really biting. But this is not going to be a great shad year. However, on the feather, very, you know, nice fishing without the insane crowds yet. I emphasize yet. They usually gather up at the outlet. There's actually a pretty good bite on spinners. So for those that don't really want to participate in the bead tossing right up in the outlet, they can, you know, take a little stroll up into the low flow area, into the wildlife area, and throw blue fox spinners and actually do pretty well. And the fish are really fresh. you know, I haven't heard of anything over 30 pounds this week, but a lot of 12 to 20 pound fish, and they're nice, and when you hook them, they jump. So it's cool.
Yeah, real good. Well, thanks for the update, Steve. I wish I had more time to chat, but you always keep us informed. We appreciate that. We hope you have a great weekend, and we'll check in with you next week.
Thanks, Mike.
Okay, take care. And you know what we're going to do before we talk to Ken about cod fishing? Let's keep on the same pattern and find out more about Southern Coast waters. We're going to check in with Chad Woods from sportfishingreport.com. And in the meantime, I'm going to give a quick summary since we have a gap along the coast here. Monterey Bay, real quick, a few halibut being caught on the beaches. Now, the south swell just persists, but there are halibut there. Just put in the time. I heard Bocce Boy at S-Dock in Santa Cruz has some bait. Or check in at Bayside. Todd's got the large herring, the squid, and some good halibut rigs there. There are halibut being caught. Offshore further, a lot of coho salmon. So keep in mind, you want to distinguish the gum line on those cohos. Ken will probably tell us more about that in a minute. San Francisco Bay area, heading up there, the same. Half Moon Bay has been pretty good for salmon trolling at deep reef, about a fish a rod, fish and a half a rod at deep reef when the weather's good. And the weather's going to subside a little bit this weekend. Be careful, watch out for those white caps. But we're going to get a little more of a southwesterly flow as the thermal trough builds along the coast. Heading further up San Francisco Bay, the red-hot striped bass bite that Jay Okamizo told us about sounds like it tapered off, unless you're in on that secret society of striped bass. If you are not in that loop, there's always plenty of halibut to be caught. Sounds like Alameda, the rock wall there, A Buoy off Oakland, Berkeley Flats, great areas. Get some live bait, drift for some halibut. Great resource, calm weather, the bay is kicking out some fish. If you're heading out underneath the Golden Gate and you want to go up the coast for salmon, if the weather's tough, hang out around Duxbury Reef, outside Duxbury, for a fish or rod type fishing at best. If you can make the run, go for the glory. You got to get up there above Point Reyes to look at that wide open salmon fishing we heard from the Bodega Bay fleet Rick Powers told us about earlier. So if you want to go out of San Francisco for the red hot fishing, you really got to make that run. Otherwise, be safe, stay local, look around the outside Duxbury Reef area for a few fish, or stay in the bay and catch some halibut. It's that time of the year. And let's check in with Chad Woods, sportfishingreport.com, and get a trout fishing report from him, and then see if he'll fill us in on some of that southern coast white sea bass bite. Chad, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Doing real good. Now, you live the life of a fisherman. Where are you at now?
I'm up in the June Lake Loop, and I'm getting ready to do some fishing. I'm up here for the weekend, and I've poked around, talked to a bunch of people, made a bunch of calls today, and the fishing in the loop is outstanding. Just 2 days ago, June Lake produced a 7-pound, 2-ounce trout, and today an 8-pounder, which is the biggest fish caught in June Lake so far this year. And they caught that on a triple teaser. The other lakes are producing really well. Down in the Mammoth area, Crowley's producing. I know that Intake 2 has produced quite a few nice fish. I talked to a couple of the guys. Tioga Pass just opened about 4 or 5 days ago, so you can get up and over. So if you're coming from, like, Fresno, you can get into the region. Most of the campgrounds up there are still closed, but there is some spots where you can fish. Lots of snow up on the pass. So they had to get the plows in there to move. There's been lots of rocks and lots of melt. So on my way up to the area, I checked out the West Walker River. It's still running, but the clarity is definitely cleaning up. A couple weeks ago when I passed through, it was very muddy, and it looks like that's starting to subside. East Walker is looking pretty good. Obviously, it is. All the rivers are flowing really, really well. So I'd say if you're going to come up here, your best bet is going to be June Lake right now. They said the fish are jumping into the boat.
All right, great report. Now, before we go to the coast, give us the internet site for more trout fishing information in that area.
You can go to rainbowtrout.com.
All right, now take us to the coast. I want to start with white sea bass.
Okay, well, I was blessed. I got to go fishing just last weekend for white sea bass after I talked to you guys. I went out on the Mirage, and normally we fish for white sea bass, Outer Island, Santa Rosa kind of stuff with Joe on the Mirage because we do overnight trips. But the fish haven't been there. So we decided to take a little gamble, and we fished the local island. We searched around Santa Cruz Island for squid. We couldn't find any squid, and we woke up in the morning, right? Well, actually, it was still dark. We started fishing around 4 a.m. Right up there on the west end of Anacapa Island, and we had excellent white sea bass fishing. We caught two or three at a time, and the bite lasted for about 4 hours. We ended up with 30 white sea bass, up to 30 pounds for 21 anglers. We also had some yellowtail that came into us. The yellowtail that hang out there over at Cat Rock are nice, big local yellows, and we had one at 32 pounds, and we had another one straighten the hook out. So that was pretty exciting, and we ended up catching three nice halibut while we were there. So the exotic fishing at Anacapa Island was excellent. Now, obviously, there's a lot of boat pressure in that area because it's really close to the mainland, and I know that the bite's on and off at that location. I did hear just later on this week that China Harbor at Santa Cruz was doing really well, a couple commercial guys producing quite a few white sea bass, and the sport boats got on it, and well, today, if you look at the counts, there's not much action, but, you know, those sea bass, they bite, and then they slow down, and then they bite. So I wouldn't give up hope. I have a feeling that the sea bass fishing in the Northern Channel Islands is going to be excellent throughout the entire summer. So if you're going to be in the area, you should plan ahead and try to get on a trip.
Okay, and you've got tons of trips listed and hot picks and boats to go on right there on the site at sportfishingreport.com. Chad Woods, have a great weekend. Catch a big trout for me, and thanks for the report.
All right, thank you.
All right, have a nice weekend. And before we go to the break here, a quick minute with Ken. Ken, are you looking forward to the rock cod season that's opening up soon?
Oh, you bet. I think my family looks forward more than I do. Forward to it more than I do.
I know. My kids love rockfish. My wife is one of her favorite fish to eat year-round.
I think so. It's wonderful.
And give us a quick summary on your salmon trip. I think you went out for salmon this weekend. Is that right? What did you find out there outside of Santa Cruz when you went salmon fishing?
Well, we fished Sunday, the tip of the hole, way inside there on this side of the hole, and found nothing but silvers. Right on the surface, actually, Mike. You let your flasher back to hook it on the line release for the downrigger, and they were taking it out of our hands on the surface. So
it's almost like the seagull. Sometimes you got to be careful.
It's just back like commercial fishing. When you try and put your bait out with the seagulls, they take it. So it was wide open all over the place.
And how about rock cod? Now, when you talk about your family liking to eat rock cod, do you have any secret recipes you'd mind sharing with us after the break?
Oh, I'd love to.
Okay.
My grandma's special recipe.
Grandma's recipe for rock cod. That sounds good. My mouth is watering already. Get the lemons off the tree. When we get back, we're going to check in with Ken Kaysen and get grandma's recipe for rockfish right after the break. Don't touch the dial.
Serious sport fishermen rely on Raymarine's high-definition digital fish finders to increase their chances of seeing and catching more fish. And so should you. Johnson Hicks offers the new Raymarine A-Series fish finders with patented award-winning HD technology. The digital fish finders deliver the sharpest underwater imagery available anywhere, not to mention true hands-off operation and no compromise performance. Choose from a 4, 5, or 6-inch display. The new C-Series also offers HD technology. Simply add Raymarine's black box sounder. Choose from a 4, 7, or 12-inch display. Find Raymarine online at www.raymarine.com or call Johnson Hicks at 831-475-3383 for more information. That's 831-475-3383.
Let me introduce Live Oak Cafe, a wonderful cafe that specializes in espresso drinks, coffee and tea, as well as their cold beverages and juices. Besides the delicious breakfast burritos and pastries, you have to try the lunch specials, like the lasagna or the enchilada casserole. People rave over it. At Live Oak Cafe, the cakes, cookies and pastries are scrumptious. The care that goes into the food at Live Oak Cafe is what keeps people coming back. In a traffic-free location on the ocean side of Highway 1, Live Oak Cafe is at the corner of Chanticleer and Soquel Avenue. Come by or call the Live Oak Cafe at 475-7757 for lunch orders, or check out, call 475-7757. Stop by today and say hi to Kathleen and her friendly staff at the Live Oak Cafe.
The Stagnaro family has been serving the Santa Cruz area for over a century. There's something for everyone: fishing trips, bay cruises, whale watching, and private parties for any occasion. Whichever your choice, today's fourth generation Stagnaros will surely make your trip fun and memorable. And be sure to dine at Gilda's Stagnaro Family Restaurant before or after your ocean adventure. The restaurant is located right across the street from our ticket office on the Santa Cruz Wharf. Call Stagnaros at 427-2334 for a trip on the bay. Interphase Technologies, a local company with a worldwide market supplying boaters with forward-looking technology. Color Twin Scopes and iScan 180s have phased array technology and give you the opportunity to see a fish or bottom structure around your boat. Horizontal and vertical scanning technology gives you the opportunity to target the fish you want to catch before you've already passed over them. Interphase also provides boaters the finest chart plotters made with bright screens, fast processors, and easy-to-use functions. Interphase's forward-looking technology can be found at Johnson Hicks or online at www.interphase-tech.com. Look forward. Find Interphase.
Want to go saltwater fishing but don't have a boat? No problem. Drop on down to Capitola Boat and Bait on the Capitola Wharf or Santa Cruz Boat Rentals at the Santa Cruz Municipal Wharf, where fishing is serious fun. You'll find great pier fishing with full-service tackle shops, sturdy ocean skiffs for rent, fresh and frozen baits, and up-to-the-minute fishing advice and inside tips. For more info, call Capitola Boat and Bait at 462-2208 or Santa Cruz Boat Rentals, 423-1739.
Boat and Motor Mart, serving boaters since 1955. For over 51 years, the customer has always come first at Boat and Motor Mart, California's exclusive dealer for Osprey boats, hosting a full array of Yamaha outboards. Quiet, smooth, fuel efficient, and powerful. That's Yamaha outboards. Boat and Motor Mart is home to a new line. That's Parker Boats. Parker Boats have brought value and customer satisfaction to new levels. Check out Boat and Motor Mart's new location in South San Francisco at Oyster Point Marina. By land or sea, it's easy to find. 671 Marina Boulevard or call 650-246-1460. That's Boat and Motor Mart, 650-246-1460. Or online at www.boatandmotormart.com.
Let's go fishing. You're tuned into the Let's Go Fishing Show. Thanks for joining us. We hope you have a great weekend. A big thanks to Ray Marine, Live Oak Cafe, Stagnaro Fishing Trips, Interphase Technology, Capitola Boat and Bait, and Boat and Motor Mart. We missed Brett from Central Valley, so I'll tell you that Mike Pistachio caught a 14.4 halibut on the remote office, a beautiful Grady White boat, during last week's tournament that Central Valley hosted. Samantha Eggert caught a 12.0 pound salmon, it looks like, on the Daisy Lee, and Pat Ono got a 10.5 pound salmon for third place. A great tournament. The guys there at Central Valley Marine do it every year. Rock cod season's coming up. Next week's show is going to be all about rock cod. In the meantime, to get you salivating, Ken, tell us how to cook rockfish.
Okay, Mike. Well, the recipe starts with good quality rock cod fillets, of course, and cut them up nice and small. I don't know, 1-inch cubes, 2-inch, whatever you like, and put them in milk, soak them in milk for just a little bit, not a long time. Have a bag of flour ready to go to shake them in, a little garlic, salt, pepper in the flour, and to shake those little fillets that have been in the milk. So you've got milk, flour coated. Take the flour coated into some beaten egg, the flour so the egg will coat properly. And then from that egg, go to potato buds. Those potato buds you buy in the store that you put in on boiling water, they make mashed potatoes. The egg will make that potato bud coat real nice. And just lightly fry them, a little bit of oil, and you got fish and chips, you got fresh rock cod, you got, boy, just a treat. That.
So you, what do you use, canola oil, a decent amount of oil, hot oil?
You know, just coat the bottom of the pan a little more than that. Yeah, okay. Good and hot.
So it's almost like a tempura batter it makes, a crispy outer shell on that rock fish.
It's fish and chips. Those potato buds, I fry up just like fried potatoes.
I'm going to try it. So yeah. I think a quick rendition would be finger-sized pieces of rockfish, probably work good for halibut, milk, and then flour, and then egg, then the spuds.
Then
pan fry them, a little bit of hot oil. Yeah. Oh, boy, get some malted vinegar, maybe some lemon juice. Sounds good to me.
Next
week's show, we'll talk more about rock fishing. Ken Kaysen, thanks for joining us. I wanted to talk with you more. The show is always busier than we thought, but it's just good to see you again. I'm glad you're still out there fishing, taking the kids fishing.
Oh, you bet. Take the kids fishing. Thanks for having me, Mike. It's been fun.
Yeah, that's good. It's all about fishing in the community.
You bet. Thanks.
Well, we hope you guys get out there. As I usually say, and Alan laughs at me for, it's, how do I say it? Have fun and be safe. And get out there, go fishing, catch a big one. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next week here at the Let's Go Fishing Show.
Your source for news, sports, traffic, and weather. AM 1080, KSCO, Santa Cruz, San Jose, Salinas, and Monterey.
Here in Washington, D.C., to give details of this operation, which apparently involved undercover work by the FBI.
Fox News has learned that six of the seven suspects took a solemn oath of allegiance to Al-Qaeda. Also, while most of the arrests were made in Miami, one was made near Atlanta. The suspects thought they were communicating with fellow terrorists when, in fact, they were talking to undercover agents. Reports are when the group started making hard plans for an attack, those agents decided to move in. Again, an FBI news briefing on the investigation is set for Friday morning. North Korea still believed set to test a long-range missile. If it does, the U.S. stands ready to try to shoot it down. If the president deems that necessary, Defense Chief Donald Rumsfeld.
The president would make a decision with respect to the nature of the launch, whether it was threatening to the territory of the United States or not.
Also, Russia's foreign minister has now warned North Korea's ambassador about doing anything that could destabilize the region. Latest numbers on that big wildfire near Sedona, Arizona. It's burned just over 3,200 acres. It's 15% contained, up from 7% on Wednesday, and officials say full containment is possible by mid-next week. Also, no buildings have burned, though 460 homes in Oak Creek Canyon are still in danger. You're listening to Fox News Radio, fair and valid.
Hey, guess what?
What?
I just broke my arm.
Did it hurt?
It felt great.
Felt great?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, you don't even have a cast on. You didn't break your arm.
Sure I did. I called Quicken Loans and broke out of my adjustable rate mortgage.
Oh, that arm.
Exactly. My adjustable rate mortgage payment was scheduled to go up by hundreds of dollars.
Hundreds? That could really break you.
Yeah, it could. So I called Quicken Loans. They took a quick x-ray of my financial situation and refinanced my arm to keep my payment low.
Loan